Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to this world that obviously don't know God and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ and apply it into my daily living so that I can become, well, light in this darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that is what this show is all about. And I'm so very glad that you could join us today. We got a good one for you. But before we get into it, it is time for viewer mail. Okay, our letter today coming from Tim. I have a question, dear Father Chapin. I have a question that no one seems to be able to answer. Very little is mentioned of Joseph, Jesus's earthly father. Wouldn't you think that during the whole judgment and crucifixion that he would have been present? Mary was, so it would seem that at least he would have been there for her. Or was this the first dysfunctional family? You know, that's a good question. That's a good question. Scripture scholars, they believe that Joseph was considerably older than Mary. In fact, they believe that Joseph was married to somebody else who passed away, so he was a widower, and that Mary was his second wife. So as Jesus grew older, and certainly into his ministry, he would have been rather elderly, and by the time Calvary came, they believed that he had already died. So that is at least what the consensus among scripture scholars is as to why Joseph was not on the scene. But you're right. There's not a whole lot said about Joseph. He's just kind of in the background. Joseph kind of reminds me of my father. You know, everybody in my family wants to be in the spotlight. My father is just kind of in the background, just kind of keeping an eye on everybody, making sure everybody's okay and safe. And that's Joseph. And I appreciate your question. That was a good one. What do you say? We focus and put ourselves in the presence of God. We got a lesson for you today. God's ready to speak to you. Are you ready to hear it? We're going to school. Are you ready to be the student? Jesus said to his disciples, gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open up immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have the servants recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. The gospel of the Lord, what a gospel it is. You stick around, we'll be right back. We're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. We continue our journey through the Gospel of Luke, and I love Luke. Of course, we're in cycle C, so we've been reading from the Gospel of Luke all year. The Gospel of Luke, often referred to as the Gospel of Mercy. We are in the 12th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock. Your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." Wow. Where to even begin? Well, let's start with the fact that I can assure you that nobody had ever heard anything like this before. I think it's very easy for us to lose how radically different Jesus was and continues to be. This was a radical departure as to how they viewed Yahweh. And we talked about this last week. But Yahweh was a distant God, separated behind the curtain in the temple, and the Holy of Holies, separated and distant because of sin. In fact, the name Yahweh was so holy among the Jewish people, you couldn't even say it. Yahweh was certainly not relational. Yahweh was to be appeased by sacrifice, along with our vain attempts to be righteous, period. And there were over 600 laws to show you how you got that done. Follow the law, you're good. Follow your own law, and Houston, we got a problem. And of course, they had many, many laws, like I said, over 600. Including how to wash a cup or a dish. And if you faithfully followed the law, you are righteous. And if you're righteous, then you are blessed. That's the way it went. It was the ultimate merit-based theology. And you know that old argument, are we saved by grace or works? Well, it's definitely the works for them. And the blessings were self-evident. If you're wealthy, if you have plenty of food, if you're free from any disease, well, then you're obviously righteous because you're doing all the things right. And God is blessing you accordingly. On the other hand, if you're struggling, if you're poor, if you have disease or lack of food, well, then, you know, you must have done something because you're being cursed by God. This was the religion of the day. It was a religion that had a lot of secrets. The righteous kept their secrets, and those who struggled kept their secrets. And as the crowds made their way into the temple for the Sabbath, the Pharisees, who were the paragon of righteousness, stood guard, actually standing at the gate watching the crowd. And if they saw somebody that they deemed unworthy, somebody they thought was not righteous or unclean in any way, they would be invited to leave. Can you even imagine the humiliation of public excommunication, reinforcing the notion that God is far away? And then here comes Jesus. And he does not look at all like any of the other Pharisees or the scribes or the Sadducees. And he certainly doesn't talk like them. "Do not be afraid any longer, my little flock. Your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." Now, when we hear these words some 2,000 years later, we are hearing them through the lens of religion. And many of us have bought into the notion of a loving God in heaven that stands ready to bless us. I mean, I know I do. I can't be this lucky. But let's try to hear these words through their ears. Because remember, for them, Yahweh was a distant God. That name so holy, you couldn't even say it. In fact, the name was so holy that when a scribe wrote it, he had to break his pen, do a ritual cleansing, and change his clothes. Now, you got Jesus showing up, and he's calling Yahweh father. Even worse, Abba or Abba, which means daddy. It's stunning. And he is telling us that Yahweh, for no other reason than that it simply pleases him to do so, is giving us the kingdom. We cannot earn it. It is gift. So get over your anxiety. Get over your guilt. Get over your shame, your unworthiness, your wretchedness. And most importantly, get over your fear. And understand that even though you do not deserve it in any way, God is giving it to you simply because it pleases him to do so. Now think about those people hearing this message for the first time. With a fear-based religion as a background. And in fact, you know, there might be somebody that's watching today that is hearing this message for the first time. And you're thinking, that sounds good. I would really like to believe that. Wouldn't that be great? Of course, we're all used to hearing flowery words. We're used to hearing promises. You know, we got the elections coming up. I imagine we'll be hearing all kinds of promises. Many of them will start with the word free. But I think we all know there is no such thing as free. But that is what Jesus is saying today. Your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. And it's not just what he's saying that's unbelievable. He's doing unbelievable things. As I said, we're in chapter 12. And the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke begins with Jesus addressing the issue of secrets. We all got them. But Jesus makes it very clear that there are no secrets in heaven. There is nothing but justice. And just because you seem blessed in this world is in no way an indication that you're righteous in the eyes of God. This turns merit-based theology on its head. Remember our rich fool last week. So clearly, riches are not the bellwether of blessings. Jesus goes on to teach us that we can depend on God. God takes care of the sparrows, and he's going to take care of you. In other words, God's got this. But as human beings, we toil, we labor, we collect all the things that we think we need, all the things that we think are going to make us happy, all the while we're filled with this anxiety that somehow our needs are not going to be met. We fear the future. We worry. Let me tell you, my friend, if you want to make a top 10 list of unproductive activities, worry is on the top of that list. But this is what we do. And as far as our personal relationship with God, we often look very much like the people in our gospel today. People who saw God as somehow far away. People who felt separated from God. That is us. And while we might not feel separated because of Mosaic law, but we do feel separated because of moral law or natural law. Either way, the end result is the same. God is far away, and we are separated by our sin. Maybe we go to church, maybe we don't. Maybe we watch Daily Living, maybe we don't. But by Wednesday, we got secrets. Meanwhile, I have confession every week and nobody comes, which is unfortunate. But, you know, I think a big reason that people do not come to confession is that they don't really understand what confession is. So let's talk about that. What is confession? Well, let me try to explain it by explaining what it is not. Okay, confession is not, well, I did this, I did that, I did this, and I'm a really bad person, please forgive me. Okay? That's not confession. Because Jesus has already done that for you on the cross, and he's not going to come back down here and do it again. So that begs the question, then why go to confession? Because in doing so, you are putting everything on the table as you recognize, I'm a fallen human being, there is nothing unique about me, and I am accepting what God is freely offering me. Not that I deserve it, not because I'm really, really sorry for my sins, but because I'm standing on the promise of what Christ has done for me and my friend. That goes way beyond forgiveness. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out, we'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be as servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open up immediately when he comes and knocks. So Jesus is making it very clear that we need to be ready. And what would that look like? Well, let's start by what it doesn't look like. If you're truly ready, you are not practicing your habitual sin. That is a big part of living your life ready. You know, about 5 years ago, August 17th, 2017, to be exact, the United States experienced a solar eclipse, and the path of totality moved through the southern states. And my brother, who lives in South Carolina, packed up the kids, and they put blankets out on a field and put on special glasses, and they all stared at the sky. They were ready. And as the moon started to cross over the sun, the whole sky went dark, except on the horizon. We could see a little bit of light, but everything got real quiet. They had anticipated the moment. They were prepared for the moment. Gird your loins and light your lamps and be like servants who await their master's return. This is how we are called to live our lives, with the same anticipation, seeking that moment like my brother and his family was seeking the eclipse. That kind of focus. But we don't have to go lie in some field with special glasses on to prepare for that day. What we do have to do is act as if our relationship with Christ is the most important thing in our lives. What do we spend our time thinking about? For where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. Now, I imagine the day after Jesus first ascended, there was great anticipation. Following Jesus was the most important thing for everybody. But as the years became decades, and then the decades became centuries, we have lost that sense of anticipation. Our treasure has shifted. And where the treasure shifted, the heart has drifted. And the idea of dependence on God, well, you know, that's kind of drifted too, hadn't it? We live in a world where it's all about the treasure. There's a whole lot of talk about who's got too much, who's got too little, and the idea of dependence on God, well, that's kind of, that's the religious folk. You know, it's kind of gone out of favor. You know, the folks with good morals. Now, today, we read the short version of this gospel, but the longer one starts with, sell your belongings and give alms, and provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy, for where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. So what does that really mean? Are we supposed to sell everything we have and live in the street in poverty? Is Jesus suggesting that having money in the bank or a college fund or retirement savings are somehow faithless acts? I don't think so. I think what he's really trying to say is this. If you take out one of those legal pads, you know, those yellow legal pads, and you decide to write down the most important things to you in your life, like in order, and be honest, from the most important thing and down, somewhere on that list is Jesus. And whatever it is that comes before Jesus, you have to lose before you can even know him. Search your heart, my friend. Try to figure out what the most important thing is in your life. And if it ain't the kingdom which the Father is pleased to give you, then you need to get rid of it. You know, talking about my brother, he rode motorcycles for years. It was his thing. I'm not a big fan of motorcycles, but he loved motorcycles. And he even built a motorcycle from the ground up. And he treasured that bike. Boy, he would spend hours polishing the chrome, you know, not a speck of dirt on that bike. I mean, he literally cleaned it with a toothbrush. And he would race all comers up the canyon. But then the day came. Why? Because it always comes. Why? Because newsflash, we don't see you. And after the big crash, which should have killed him but didn't, he went to the junkyard to look at his wrecked motorcycle. And as he sat in his wheelchair, body broken, he began to weep. Let me tell you, my brother never cries about anything, ever. But in that moment, he realized he had worshiped that bike. And on the day he almost met his maker, the treasure he had buried in a field, his pearl of great price, was a motorcycle. And as he thought back on the accident, you know, when you're lying in a hospital, you have a lot of time to think. And as he's thinking about that wreck, he was thinking about, what was I thinking about, you know, just before the crash? What was going through my mind? And it came to him, and you know what? It wasn't good. He never told me what it was. But whatever it was something that he did not want to show up at the throne room of judgment with. He was going to cross over with a head full of secrets and a heart full of motorcycle. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. My friends, there are no secrets in heaven. And we're all going to cross over with a heart full of something. It's the nature of man to get. And when we get, to get more. Why? Because it provides us like some kind of security. We store up treasure. So when we die, we just hope that the good luck charm and the sky will intercede and get us into heaven. But our gospel today very much begs to differ on this point. What Jesus is saying is completely different, because he starts with the question. And the question is, where is your heart today? In other words, where is your treasure? If you have a heart from me, then live like it. Live your life watching the door, waiting for my arrival, as you would wait on an eclipse. Jesus says, I am the door. Keep your eye on me. In the 1800s, There was a British explorer by the name of David Livingstone, and he traveled extensively into the heart of Africa, deep into the jungles, the first white man to do so. It was during the height of the slave trade in this country. And through the years, he would venture deep into the jungle and warn the people about this terrible practice. In doing so, he developed a very strong bond with the people. In 1872, he died of dysentery. He was 59 years old. That's how old I am. It's said that he passed away while he was kneeling in prayer. His body was to be taken back to England and buried at Westminster Abbey. However, the local Africans were reluctant to give up his body. They finally did, but first they cut out his heart to bury it locally. They said, "You can have his body, but his heart belongs to Africa." What about you, my friend? If your heart was to be buried in the place you love most in this life, where would it be? With your motorcycle? At your desk in some office? In a bank account? At the local pub? Where is your heart? For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. The Master is returning. Let us keep our eyes on the door. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Like Mother Teresa said, just a little pencil in the hand of a writing God sending a love letter to this world. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.